It is an interesting thing here in chapter 20 and verse 20, not a part of the message really, but the idea that God took time to record that Hezekiah built conduits to bring water into the city. Truly, I mean, thousands of years ago, they're working out a system of bringing running water into the city. If you look back at your history, the Romans, when they built the Colosseum, they had plumbing, so to speak. I mean, they literally had public restrooms that would eliminate things for them, and they had water that came in. They were known famously for having hot and cold running water. And so it is amazing what people can do, and God records it here in 2 Kings chapter 20. But as we look at this man Hezekiah and this study, J.D., we're getting like a feedback just a little bit, just so you know. As we look at this study here in 2 Kings, and we look at this king, Hezekiah, we really need to back up to the 18th chapter and see what it is leading us up to get into chapter 20. In chapter 18 and verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign." Now, remember, this is a split kingdom here. So you have the northern kingdom, Israel, and Judah. Now we're talking about Hezekiah's with this kingdom of Judah. And so that's that lower, the two tribes that are there with Judah. And so he began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Abi. And there you go, Miss Abby over there, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did, listen to what it says, he did that which was good in the sight of the Lord according to all that David, his father, did. Now, David was not his father, but his, you know, one, he was in the line of David. And he did that which was good in the eyes of God. In fact, God uses, if you read this, God uses Hezekiah to usher in a revival of sorts into the nation of Judah, as he's doing that which is good and bringing revival into the kingdom. In verses 3 to 8, it says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father did, and he removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the serpent of brass that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan." That they literally called this brass serpent that Moses made. You remember the one that was on the pole? We looked at it earlier in our Sunday morning study in John chapter 3. It says, like Jesus, like the serpent was raised up on a pole, so Jesus must be lifted up on the cross there in John chapter 3. That's what's being spoken of. And the children of Israel had gotten to where they were worshiping it. And so he broke it into pieces so that they would quit worshiping this thing. And God uses him to bring in this revival into the city of Judah. Well, then as we go on into chapter 18 and into 19, we find that Hezekiah begins to be tested. His faith begins to be tested. He doesn't always pass these tests with flying colors. In fact, down in verse 14 of chapter 18, he kind of takes the coward's way out. He says, "And Hezekiah, king of Judah, sent it to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended," this is Hezekiah saying to the king of Lachish, "I have offended you. Please forgive me. I have offended." Listen to what he says. "I have offended. Return from me that which thou puttest on me, and I will bear." So he says, if you can just be my friend, I'll do whatever you ask of me. And if you kind of read through the story, he begins to give away all of the treasures, and it's not a good thing. And his faith is challenged. He passes the test in some ways, and he shows himself to be somewhat struggling, but he's human, and God uses Hezekiah. But that brings us then to our passage here in chapter 20. And there's going to be, I did this in memory of Michael Brendel. So Michael, if you're listening out there, you can, I'll give you that shout out. So this is going to be alliterated. I don't alliterate very often, but it just kind of fit very well in this passage, chapter 20. Sick, some, son, and sin. These four S words that we're going to find in there as we come to chapter 20 and now verse 1. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." God says to Hezekiah, listen up. you're not living much longer, and you need to make sure that everything's ready because you're about to die. By the way, if that's all that God ever gave me, that would be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it, to give me a chance to be ready to die. You know, we are called upon by God to live our lives always ready because we know not what a day may bring forth, right? But, you know, here God gives him this wonderful gift. Then he, Hezekiah, turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore, and it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto Isaiah, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord God of thy father David, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee on the third day, and thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. By the way, can I just interject something in here again, not part of the message? Does prayer make a difference? God had determined what was going to happen with Hezekiah, and Hezekiah beseeched God, and God turns and says, Okay, Hezekiah, I hear you. I'm going to answer your prayer. So this is that sick concept. Hezekiah is sick. He is sick unto death. He is going to die. There's no question. God says, tell Hezekiah to get ready. He's going to die. Hezekiah begins to weep and ask God for more time. And God, because he loves Hezekiah, because he's gracious, because he responds to his prayer, God says, okay, Isaiah, go back and tell Hezekiah that I'm going to give him some more time. That gives me this sum. Now, this one was a little harder for me to fit into. The others are pretty easy, but sum is simply the total. God's going to give him a total. Take a look at it in verse 6. It says, And I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee. By the way, 15 years, I thought that's being pretty gracious, right? God says, hey, you're going to die. I would think that if God said, okay, I'll give you another year, that's like being pretty gracious. God says, I'm going to add to you 15 years. And that's pretty amazing. But keep going. It says, I will deliver thee out of this city, out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. Now, this is interesting because if you read through chapters 18 and 19, you would know that part of the trial of Hezekiah's faith is that the city was being besieged by the Assyrians, and they were going back and forth and trying to, you know, do business, and that's where Hezekiah kind of tried to buy his way out. It didn't work, and different things. But God now steps in and says, you know what, I'm gonna give you this victory, Hezekiah. And not only am I going to give you the victory, I'm going to give you 15 more years to enjoy this victory. And so, and he said to, and Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil. So apparently in this sickness that he had, there was some kind of a boil or a growth or something on his skin. Lay it on the boil, and look at the last three words of verse 7. And he recovered. Now, in my mind, God has already said, Hezekiah, you're going to die. Hezekiah prays, and God says, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. And then Hezekiah is healed of this sickness. God heals him. In my mind, that ought to be enough for Hezekiah to step forward. But here we are in verse 8, Hezekiah asks for more. And I'm amazed that Hezekiah has the audacity to ask. I'm also amazed that God isn't offended, that God simply says, okay, I'll respond to you yet again, Hezekiah, and prove to you that I am going to do what I promised to do. So look at verse 8. It says, And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? Well, hello, the boil disappeared. Isn't that like a sign? I mean, you've just recovered. That seems to me like a pretty good sign, but Hezekiah still says, how do I know that God's going to keep his promise? What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this shalt thou have of the Lord. Now listen to this, because this is a phenomenal thing that's about to be described. That the Lord of the Lord, let's see, there it is, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken, shall, and he asks now, Hezekiah. God gives Hezekiah a chance to be a part of this proof that he's asking for. He says, shall the sun go forward? Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees? This is why I put this third point in as the sun, because God's doing something with the sun here that seems to be pretty phenomenal. Now, I will grant you, if you do some studying, you'll find that some people say, well, they didn't use a sundial. They have a certain instrument. I cannot remember the name of it off the top of my head and did not write it down. But it's similar to a sundial. And it is said that perhaps an eclipse would have had this same effect on making the shadow look like it was going both directions. Still, having said that, you know, during this time period, there was no way for men to scientifically map out when there was going to be an eclipse. So unlike today, where, you know, we hear 3 days in advance on the news, hey, get ready, there's going to be an eclipse, not the same back then. So it was still a miracle regardless of what happens, but the shadow is about to move. God's doing something unusual in the sky. And then Hezekiah answers and says, it is a light thing, or it's no big deal, in other words, for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Now, if this is something to do with an eclipse, you can see how, you know, at one point the shadow moves this direction, then as the shadow comes back, it moves. Maybe it was God just doing an eclipse. If not, then this is like the sun moving a different direction, which seems like really impossible. But of course, we remember that there's nothing too hard for the Lord, right? And he is the one in control. And so either way, he says, Hezekiah, what do you want me to do? Move the shadow forward, move the shadow back. Hezekiah says, moving it forward, anybody can do. Let's move it backward 10 degrees. Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down on the dial of Ahaz. So we have this amazing thing that God has done. So we see Hezekiah is sick. We see that God gives him a sum of 15 additional years and then victory over his enemy to enjoy those 15 years. And then Hezekiah asks for some proof, and the sun does something unusual to give him this proof. We're bringing us then to this last part of this chapter as we see the sin that is going to be a problem. It's an amazing thing. It is as if until we get to, you know, verse 12, God has set it up for Hezekiah to have 15 wonderful years. I'm going to give you victory. I'm going to heal you. And everything is wonderful and going forward. Then we have here in verse 12 a time in which Hezekiah ignores God and does things on his own without seeking God's face, without seeking wisdom from God's prophet, without doing, Hezekiah just in his own pride and arrogance steps outside of God's will, and it's going to mess things up for him. As we then look at verse 12, it says, at that time, Beradok Baladan, I'm going to say his name, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasure. Do you see what's happening here? Hezekiah gets caught up in the pride of his position. All of a sudden, Hezekiah is getting attention from another king, and Hezekiah wants to show off, so to speak. And he says, yeah, let me show you just how really glorious I am. Not only was I sick and now I'm not, but let me show you all these wonderful things that I have. And he takes him through the house and begins to show him all of these things. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country. By the way, if you'll pay attention to where they came from, Babylon. That's going to play an important role in what's about to happen. The real truth here is that Hezekiah was more interested in impressing a wicked king and kingdom than he was in pleasing God. And this is where Hezekiah lets his pride get in the way. And so he says, where are these guys from? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, "What have they seen in thine house?" And Hezekiah answered, "All things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." And Hezekiah said, and Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they be taken away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, "Good is the word of the Lord." Now this is, again, to Hezekiah's credit. If you go back and read these last two chapters that I mentioned, this is where Hezekiah's at. He's up and down. One moment, he's like, wow, this is incredible. Look what Hezekiah is doing. Powerful, trusting in God, taking great steps of faith. And then the next moment, he is giving away everything. And the next moment, he's back to trusting in God. And he's just kind of been this way, back and forth. And Isaiah comes and literally rebukes Hezekiah. And to his credit, rather than getting his pride hurt, rather than trying to exercise his kingly authority in the face of the man of God, he says, God's word is true and right. And if this is what God wants, God is still good. And it is an amazing statement that he says as he goes on. He says, "Then said Hezekiah, God is good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken." And he said, "It is not good if peace and truth be in my day. Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days?" And so he's like, you know what? I'm going to take this as from the hands of the Lord. Now, the end of the story is, you know what happens. Babylon steps in and takes everybody captive for the most part. Daniel, being one of the lineage of King Hezekiah, and these folks are made eunuchs in the palace in Babylon. That's, of course, another story. But we begin to see how all of this plays out as Hezekiah fails to be faithful in the face of God's blessing. God answers his prayer. God steps in and heals him. God takes his enemy out of the way. God sets him up for 15 years of glory and wonderful times, and Hezekiah squanders the opportunity. So if you and I are going to learn anything from this passage as we study this 2020 concept, and as we bring our lives into clear focus from the word of the Lord, it would be that we do not want to squander the opportunities God gives us. When God opens a door of opportunity, like he did for Hezekiah, to give him another 15 years. And the only reason he does it is because God is being gracious and seems to love Hezekiah enough to respond. And when God proves himself to be who he is by moving the sun or moving the earth or whatever it is that he does to make the shadow go back, and then in the face of all of that, Hezekiah is still stepping out in his own pride, his own arrogance, befriending the world rather than his God, makes this mistake. So let's bring our lives into focus. God gives us opportunities. Let's step out in faith and let those opportunities count for something, and God will use us mightily. Wonderful lessons from Hezekiah. God answers prayer, but God does allow us to make decisions that might negatively impact our future, even the future of our children, because of the way we're living. And so just encourage you to bring your life into focus and let God do some wonderful things with it. Thank you so much for tuning in with us and being with us. And this is such a weird time for us. I tell you, preaching to an empty sanctuary, empty minus about 7 or 8 people that are here helping out today. It's not been easy, but I know it's just not easy for you either. And just know that we're praying.